Okay, I'll start.
Okay, so welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. We're here today with Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Take my heart, take my hand, take me where I cannot stand. Lisa, boom!
Oh. Jeanette.
Hello.
Lisa.
Captain.
I already had mine organised.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
And Alex.
I don't care. I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me.
Yes!
And what are we watching? We're watching Firefly.
Yes. Because I have a list of shows, and I'm like, okay, when is it exactly 20 years old? Because I have a plan. So next year, we're watching Arrested Development.
Yes!
In a couple of years' time, we're going to be watching Peter Serafinowicz's show called Look Around You.
So this is exactly 20 years old.
The show aired for the first episode on the 20th of September, 2002.
Jeez. Right, you can't do it. It's 2 weeks off of hitting 20 years.
It'll take me 2 weeks to get everything. So, you know, we should be good, actually.
Yeah.
So it's roughly 20 years.
Yes, cheating a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, totally cheating. So what is Firefly and what is it about?
It was one of the shows that was made by Joss Whedon, and it's set in a solar system or galaxy where the central planets are rich and powerful, but the outer planets are basically just very barely terraformed, and so a lot of the places out there are basically like the old Wild West. And so the Firefly in question, it's a species of ship? That's the right word.
It's a type of ship.
It's a type of ship, and the crew of the ship, headed by Mal Reynolds, who fought in the war for...
The civil war
between the central planets and everybody else, and basically they do smuggling and other little crimes.
Nefarious activities.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like gun for hire, ship for hire thing.
And so these are the equivalent of cowboys that...
They're very much like cowboys.
Or criminals that go from planet to planet.
Yeah.
I remember once someone produced the map. And it must have 50 planets, or I don't know.
It went ridiculous for like 10 episodes, and it's got this
five stars or something like that in the one system, and it just makes no sense.
Five stars in one system.
But it's apparently... Stars of different mass on the same orbital...
Orbiting
and speed
as the planets.
So, like, one of them would either be moving inwards into descending orbit or flying off into space because of the different mass of the stars.
Overthinking!
No sense.
I get the world building, but it didn't really go for long enough to necessitate the world building.
It was actually cancelled, but there's a lot of world building and lore within the thing.
Yeah.
So, it was written to basically go on for a long time, much like B5 and Star Trek and stuff like that. But the problem was, it didn't hit the ground running. Its following came after it was out. And because it came after it was out, it was too late.
Yeah.
So
also,
it was an interesting sell as well. It was a strange show because I remember, okay, I reckon it was probably around the time the movie came out. A guy I know Chris isn't going to be listening, but hey, Chris. But he gave me the box set and went, take this and watch on DVD, kids, you know, remember what a DVD was? Gave me the DVD of the first season, the only season, said, watch this, you will love it, trust me. And I kind of gave it back to him after a few weeks and I went, oh, there's just too much Western in my sci-fi, I can't. And I spoke to other people and they were like going, oh, I tried to, but it was just too much sci-fi for my Western tastes, you know, it was a hard sell. It wasn't until years later that I picked it back up again and actually really enjoyed it. But
my best friend forced me to watch it. So we'd watched it. I watched the first 15 minutes of it about 3 times. And then one day they just went, right. And I was younger, so no drinks, just a little bit of nibbles and stuff. Watch the damn episode. And I watched the entire thing and I actually really enjoyed it afterwards. But I was like 22 by the time I'd actually watched it.
Yeah.
Not on DVD.
I know. What is this foreign thing, DVD?
So has anybody not watched Firefly?
I've only seen one episode and the film Serenity. So
it's probably weird watching the film first before the
film.
The film is kind of a summary of the entire series to some degree, isn't it?
The film is the second season. The film is what ends it.
What they wanted to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's not what they wanted to do. They were annoyed, or Joss was annoyed. So the film eventually came out. It was funded in a really particular way as well.
Yes, yeah.
And then, yeah, it literally just came out to end this show because the show was more or less left on a slight cliffhanger. Like, it was ready for the next season. It just didn't have it.
It was a lot of fans contributed money to
it
was almost a Kickstarter before Kickstarter
before that type of thing, because I think the Veronica Mars movie was the first kickstarted show, wasn't it, really? But this was pre that. It almost feels like the way they funded a Monty Python film, where it was just like, people went, I want to see that, I'm going to give you some money and let's make it happen.
Okay, so there were only 10 episodes.
I think I read 13? Somewhere that three of them aired on the BBC because Fox didn't care at all. And I've been reading a lot of stories about how, for example, the first episode, it wasn't shown until the series was cancelled. So basically the idea was, like, I hate a series. The execs watched it and go, nah, it's too dry. The characters aren't likable enough. Make a new episode or we're cancelling the series. And so the train job was the first episode to air. That was the new first episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we found it hard because then when we watched it later, after giving the DVD back, like years later, and went, right, we're going to give this a try. I said to Adrian, I feel like you're going to like this more than me because I've given it a try. I don't like it. You try it now. And we found it really hard because the first half of the season was all out of order from when it was on TV to when it was on IMDb. And it was just trying to find the right order on how to watch it.
Yeah, because the thing as well, it's like the first episode and the first episode to air were both the first episode. So basically, like, introduced the characters and introduced them again because that was the episode that had to air first. So they both do an okay job at introducing the characters, but basically it was weird because of that clash and which episodes give the characterizations properly.
So after watching it a second time, what did you end up thinking?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I got it.
Well, we'll see if that survives today.
Yes. I think it was over it ages well or not. I do like the fact that this was a series that decided to do the No, There Is No Sound in Space thing, and it became... And also, was it... I think it was the first series to have shaky cam as well, or at least one of the earliest.
It might have been one of the early series to do
and
that.
And just, like, these weird quirks that, like, we're making it seem more real than it is, and it's just... It got adopted quite well.
While Joss Whedon is, like, a very controversial man.
I was going to say,
problematic. And the irony of his existence is that he can write very strong, well-written female characters, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a perfect example, and really brought forward, like, that entire sort of generation of storytelling.
He just doesn't treat the women he plays them very well.
Misogynistic, which is such a why.
And then again, one of the characters is a sex worker. It's kind of weird.
But then that fits into the Western...
It's also the way in which the opinions are dealt with in the universe.
Because a lot of the pioneers...
There's a lot of, like, respect to that side of the world.
And also, she doesn't just sleep with everyone. She's like, no, I'm not going to sleep with you. She's very choosy. Yeah, like, she doesn't want
to
do it.
But it's also at the same time, like, the characters being, you know, derogatory towards... The whorishness, especially male.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of paying respects because, I mean, we're talking about this, the sci-fi versus the Western, and to give her that character is honouring that Western side of the story. I don't know if you guys have ever watched, there was a show that came out called Hell on Wheels, and it was about when they built the Great Railway across the US, and they basically, it was literally like there was a whole town and they'd basically pick up and move as they went through and built the railroad. And part of that was they had the brothels in this town, in this Hell on Wheels. And these women were pioneers. They were doing a job, but they were actually part of that pioneering settlement that was traveling through the town. And there was more of them than there were the wives that were following the husbands. There weren't really the families because it wasn't a place for the families to be, but the women that were there were actually trailblazers. And so I feel like her character kind of honours that place. And then they do have other females, but they're probably more so because they needed to have a more equal...
Another problematic thing is allegedly the universe is supposed to be a mix of Asian and American culture and there's no Asian characters.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, yes.
That really bothered me.
All they brought across was they speak in Mandarin.
They curse in Chinese.
Which
and it's like, why?
No. And also, it's not even cursing. It's just them saying silly things in Mandarin. Badly.
Have you watched reaction videos to people, like, trying to work out what they're saying?
I think I, like, watched one ages ago, and it was just,
I watched a woman. She was like, going, oh, okay, I understood that word. That doesn't belong there. What? It was good fun.
It was like a Babel Fish version, was it? It was just
it was more just like they were saying silly things that were kind of crude but not really sensible.
Yeah.
It's like, it's where you swear in Mandarin versus what they were saying is a huge gulf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So no understanding of the language at all.
And this might be really controversial, but here's the River Tam.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand her. I just could not stand her through the whole series. The sister who's had the experiments done on her. I know that there was a relevance and there was this underlying conspiracy subplot where she came from, but to me they could have cut her whole character out and I would have been happier.
You wouldn't have even noticed.
To be fair, for me
I would have actually been happier.
For me it was the mechanic I couldn't stand.
What, Kaylee?
I loved her.
She's just so shiny all the time.
Yeah.
Too shiny,
like,
is she?
Yeah, she was just too energetic. And I'm like, just, where's a pillow? Just.
I actually like, it may be that episode that we're going to watch, isn't it? When they first introduced where the characters came from and how they all met.
No, that's later on, isn't it? Oh, it is in space.
I like that. He meets her because their mechanic sucks and then she's
She's boning the mechanic.
I just noticed while I was bored because he's a bad lover. I noticed.
And she's actually a better mechanic and she was more interested in having sex with him so she could check out the mechanics of the ship than actually having with him.
And I really thought that was cute.
And I think that, to me, that's...
I did like that bit, the way they introduced that.
It didn't really match her character.
No. She ended up having this whole sexual tension thing with Simon Tam. And he's just so not straight. But and that shouldn't matter because he's a good actor and it's, you know, it's six of one, half a dozen the other. But you just kind of go, well, he just doesn't feel like he should have ended up with a woman. Yeah. It just didn't feel right.
Okay, but let's talk about Wash for a moment.
Oh my God, I'm so in love with Alan Tudyk. Yes.
Alan Tudyk steals the show all the time. He's an incredible actor. But like his love for his wife, in love with her. It's so wholesome.
Yeah.
Like it's so good.
And he just lusts after her and it's just beautiful.
It's like she's perfect.
And she's just like this tough, badass, woman. He's just like, oh, she's just an Amazon.
And the priest as well.
I thought he was actually really cool.
Badass priest.
Yeah, I actually really liked his character, especially in the last couple of episodes. He was
He had good character development. I don't know if we need to watch the episode.
I'm so sorry.
It's a really good timeline.
Wind it up, everybody.
I feel like when you do that wind up symbol, it's like a challenge now. I've got five more things I need to say
before you finish.
And it's also just remembering, I should actually watch, they did a spin-off comic series of the backstory of Shepherd Book. And I should have read that because where he came from because he's got a mysterious past.
And I think they would have dug into that if they'd been a series.
What's of note on this series is when I look at Wikipedia, most things we look at have just sort of a fairly short entry on this goes on forever. This webpage goes on forever. Every character has an essay written about them on Wikipedia.
There's definitely emphasis on the cult part of the cult classic.
This is definitely cult classic. I mean, the only reason the film got made is because the cultists got together and fought for it, protesting outside the studio and all sorts of things.
Another interesting thing, which I don't know if anyone cares, but one of Zac Efron's first roles was in a flashback scene of
I am aware.
He plays
of
the young Simon Tam. And I was like, I remember watching, going, "Is that it is."
Okay, so we'll get on with watching the show.
We don't just talk about it. We won't actually watch the episode.
We've already done our reaction video.
Sorry, Dad.
We'll just watch it and polish off.
But it's good because then we'll watch the episode and it's been so long, then we'll have a whole heap of other things to talk about.
Okay, so we'll get on and watch Firefly, The Train Job, Season 1, Episode 2. There's only one season, though.
Episode 2. If you're Fox.
Whatever order they want to do.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care. Mm-hmm. So what did people think?
I liked it. I completely forgot how much I liked Firefly. Yeah. And this was just a wholesome episode with an ending that I really enjoyed.
So yeah. I was able to see why I sat through 14 episodes of it.
Yeah.
Which was purely the character interactions.
Yes.
The interactions between all the characters is really well done. It's really like just warm and friendly sort of thing. Mm. They're either at each other or working with each other, but they just seem like friends bickering.
Yes.
But the story, God. I think my problem with Firefly was that the entire first season was set up.
Yes.
The only season.
Yeah. I feel like when they did it, though, I feel like they kind of did a lot of that going, this whole first season's exposition, and then once we get into season two, then we'll get into the meeting part.
My problem with Firefly, and I've said this a couple of times before, my greatest problem with Firefly is that there's only one season of Firefly.
Yeah.
And so I don't like Firefly.
Yeah.
So because there's not enough of it for me to have properly enjoyed it, I don't really enjoy it.
And that's the
thing. It's not like, something I'll rewatch.
Yeah.
You can see what I mean with like River Tam. There is absolutely no point of what she's doing in that episode. It's supposed to be leading to something awesome, but it never got a chance to get there.
No. So watching the episode, I actually remember a character that's very similar to River Tam, but was done a lot better. The character's name is Eleven from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Very similar backstory sort
of
thing.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Yes. Yeah.
But they did more with Eleven in season one than they did in this first season.
Yeah. And she's a lot less like crazy and deteriorating and stuff like that. Eleven's a lot more of a stronger human being instead.
I think it also doesn't help that she got more lucid is the wrong word, but she got better the further in the season she went. And so as a result, by the time it was the last episode, she basically was in control of herself more, and that was the last episode she was in.
I mean, in the movie she does actually have this episode in, I think it's in a bar or something, where she just gets triggered somehow.
That's a good scene.
Just and she just annihilates everybody.
I feel like that's her only good scene.
In the end, of course, there's a scene where she effectively gets locked out with the Reavers, and she just defends a tunnel where they're all hiding, and there are Reavers just pouring in, and she's just killing them all.
I actually really like in the last episode, the last scene is her closing a hatch on the 2x2 hands of blue men. They're floating off into space, and she's closing a hatch, and that I think is the last scene in at the very, very end of season one.
I remember.
I think that's my favorite scene of her, like just all in all, it's very ominous and kind of like this person's a psychopathic killer. She's that's it. That's what she's doing.
Jeanette, what did you think of that episode?
I probably enjoyed it more than I remembered enjoying it, but I still don't think I would continue to watch it.
And because you said you'd only watch one episode, would you remember which episode you'd watched?
Probably this
one. I would start at first. But I don't think so.
Maybe you watched the movie long premiere episode.
It probably was.
And then maybe you started this and went, actually, I didn't like it enough. And that's maybe why the beginning seemed familiar for something. Yeah.
I think you did watch the first episode and immediately were turned off by the cattle in the spaspaceship and just went, oh, this is cowboy.
Oh, that was hilarious.
I thought that was really good.
So funny.
And
that was the thing when I first watched Firefly years ago. Yeah. It was like, it was just too cowboy.
Sci-fi is literally just westerns.
It is.
And I feel like it's very confronting when you've got a western sci-fi show, because people are like, oh, I don't like westerns, so I'm not a major fan of Firefly. But then there is an argument for Star Wars being
Star Wars,
a western.
Definitely.
Star Trek, when it was originally pitched, was cowboys in space.
Yeah.
So like everything is literally just cowboys.
Yeah.
So many cowboys.
I think that's because America's obsessed, really.
With cowboys, that was the narrative that they're familiar with, and they just projected out. Yeah.
This is probably the closest they've ever come to having a direct cowboys in space. Yes.
I mean, it's very directly. The music is playing on Western music. Yeah. It's picking up on all the iconography of the Western.
Civil War is the American Civil War.
Yeah, everything is.
And Star Wars doesn't pick up on that. Star Wars has got a very different feel, even though it is still cowboys in space.
Yeah.
It doesn't pick up on all the iconography. It's got its own sort of world.
Mm-hmm. And Star Wars also borrows from, is it Seven Samurai or something like that?
The Invisible...
No, it's the Kurosaka. Oh, God, please, I can't. I'm trying to sound like I know what I'm talking about, yeah, and no, I it's, don't.
It's the Fortress, I think it's. No, it's not the name of it.
Yeah, it's literally ripped off of one of those classic samurai movies.
There's a lot of definitely got that. Yeah. Yes, yeah.
And it's also heavily influenced by Dune as well.
Yeah.
Because if you watch slash read Dune, you can see so much of Star Wars.
I mean, Star Wars was kind of inspired by just about every sci-fi under the sun. Yeah. I mean, even in Book of Boba Fett recently, they've had Ringworld.
So,
just in case anyone missed that, that was your point where you drink.
I was trying to get us past it.
I will not let us get past it. We had to have it.
Okay.
Everyone, you know me so well.
But no, I think this would be like a good indication of what not to do with a sci-fi. I think that's how it's kind of reverberated through sci-fi from now on.
So the analogy is going to be something that you don't put with something else. Is that two things that don't go together?
Whereas, I mean, we just watched the train episode. That clearly was copied effectively in Solo, where they do a train robbery in Solo.
I mean,
but it's exactly true. It's a common trope, the
Great Train Robbery. The Great Train Robbery is a trope, but it was done here. And
there was,
the
only difference with between the spaceship and that and every other train trope is that they used a flying machine to drift over the top and pick the
cargo. Yeah, a flying machine with the hook.
I'm
and
sure you could find somewhere someone doing that with like a biplane or something like that. Just like a dodgy plane.
How many
plane.
Movies and TV shows do you have where they're walking on top of the train and they're doing
that?
Of course.
I mean, now there's the Bullet Train movie that's just released, which I've heard amusing things about as well.
I don't think it's the worst.
No, I don't think
as far as sci-fi goes. But as you said earlier, right, you looked at a map of the Firefly universe and when you look at the backgrounds of characters and stuff, it's quite expansive. And I think that there's a lot there. But the only thing that would be done differently if you were going to reboot something akin to this would be to actually be aware of how solar systems work and maybe not have things contradict.
Admittedly, my one change would be I'd just make more.
Alex, what did you think of this episode?
Yeah, it's cool. I think
Alex brought us the episode.
But
you've just watched it.
Yeah, because like the other thing is, this isn't my favourite episode, and I wasn't sure if I should bring the episode I liked or the episode that introduces everything.
What was the episode that you like?
As a thing, I like a three-way tie between probably Ariel or Janestown or...
I love Janestown.
Yeah, Janestown, yes. Yeah,
Janestown is good,
What was the other one? It was like
the one where they go to the fancy ball, I like
that
one.
Yes,
that
was
the And then the one where they do where they all meet. They're probably...
I think this one works a lot better than the other ones, though.
It's a good one to
feel of each of the characters.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because the episodes... other episodes require you to know the characters, or...
Yeah,
and you discover their morality line as well, which I think is really good for
and that's the thing, and the fact that they have different morals as well creates a lot of interesting interactions.
An American version of Blake and Avon there with a captain and the second in command.
The second in command is not Jane, he's just some random chump on the ship. I'm the biggest and strongest, therefore I'm third in command.
He's just the hired idiot.
He's
like, the reason why he's on their side is because they pay well.
He's also completely a moral. In the first episode, he's got two guns and he says, I'll swap one for your sister.
They know that the only thing that's stopping him from switching sides is the other side isn't offering more money. If the other side offered more money,
In the episode of Ariel, we know what happens in that case.
There was another show that I think was inspired by Firefly to some extent. It was an awful show, but they had the character interactions down pat. They actually tried to do story and stuff and had story elements. It also got cancelled before they got to finish everything, but there was still like enough story for it to be watchable, and I think it was called Dark Matter. And it was like cheesy, it was trash.
Terrible.
Episode one, they wake up unconscious sort of thing from like deep freeze and they've all lost their memories.
Oh, I've seen that. It's on Prime, I think, isn't it?
It's terrible.
Awful.
It's terrible.
I've not watched it.
The character interactions are great. They've got characters based off of, like, there's a Jane on the ship who always will take the most financially beneficial option sort of thing. They've got the captain who tries and does the right thing, but I think the captain and second commander swapped in Dark Matter.
Well, they actually get rid of the main character.
Yeah, there's, like,
like the main character disappears.
Yeah, at the end of season one and stuff. Yeah, they just got rid of him.
Brought
him once or twice. But I think they tried to take inspiration from this and took inspiration from Game of Thrones and the way they just killed off characters randomly. And like, oh, we've got to have a plot twist for the end of season one. What are we going to do? And then just threw something in. It was terrible, but it was more entertaining than Firefly for me because it had story.
Yes,
and they actually wrote story and plot, and it had the character interactions as well.
I thought Firefly had story. It's just the
stories, but they're all kind of like one shots.
So a lot of it is like really compact, but I think it's episode 8 or 9 that actually they start to drop into the overarching story of everything, and they actually start to do stuff.
They tried to do a slow burn, not realizing they were going to get canned before they had a chance to realize it.
Yeah. And that's the problem, right? Is like you can't do slow burns if you're not guaranteed that second season.
Yeah.
Or even like half the first season. They got, I think, 3 episodes in the UK because Fox didn't care.
But then, like, this show definitely kindled a lot of actors' careers as well.
And Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion, the fan base just for him alone.
Because he was just some part actor in Buffy when this got made, really. Yeah. I mean, he's
made him take voice off. Acting under his belt as well. He's been in some video games and stuff, but then he, just got really big after
his Firefly. His dry delivery in this is fantastic, I think.
Yes, he's good in it. Alan Tudyk is now like the poster boy for Disney, isn't he?
Yes.
Not just the poster boy for Disney. He's also done his own TV show called Con Man, which is based around him going to different conventions.
He kickstarted that, though.
Yes. Yeah. I was a part of it.
Oh, my God! Thank you for helping bring that show to me.
Adored it so much, but I haven't entirely watched it. But then he was also in things like Death at a Funeral.
Was Death at a Funeral before or after Firefly? Because that was the first time Death at a Funeral was the first thing I ever saw him in. And I was just like, oh my God, who is this guy?
He's
like,
hilarious.
Yeah.
Apparently he and Nathan Fillion, for one of the scenes where his character gets high, they hung out in a hotel room one evening and basically went, what would you do if this was a thing? And recorded themselves doing loopy things so that he could bring that into the role in Death at a Funeral. And then Jane also, the
Adam Baldwin.
Adam Baldwin got really big for a bit as well in TV shows.
Chuck first, and then I was really big into Chuck, and then that was another one of those reasons I'm going, well, he's in Firefly, like maybe I should go back and watch it to see what he's like, because we loved Chuck when
all the other roles for these other actors were the reason that I decided to actually properly sit down and watch Firefly. And then the companion is Deadpool.
And I believe I saw Summer Glau in The Dollhouse before I saw her in Firefly as well, which was then the show they did after Firefly was The Dollhouse, which I liked because I like Eliza Dushku. But yeah, and it was like special guest star Summer Glau and people are getting excited about it. Who's this girl? Like,
Summer Glau,
I don't get it.
Also, like Summer Glau, but being famous off herself, and she also... Was she one of the Terminators in the Terminator series? The Sarah Connor Chronicles?
I believe so. Yeah. Or she was in Sarah Connor Chronicles. Wasn't Jill State in that as well?
Might have been,
And Jill Slate, she was in a lot of things, wasn't she? She's been in quite a few shows.
I'm trying to think of something else she was... Yeah. There was another show that Adrian was watching recently that she was in. I was getting excited and he's like, are you going to sit and watch this? No, I'm just excited because she's in it. And then I walked out the room.
And then on top of all of that, they've been very heavily influencing the nerd communities quite constantly. They tour conventions, not just in America,
dedicated
but everywhere around the world. They're so dedicated to their fans. And for a time the character of Chuck, Zachary Levi, was running Nerd HQ at the same time San Diego Comic-Con was on, and so they were massive supporters of Nerd HQ, and together they were raising money for a whole heap of charity organizations. Like, just as a group of people, they are just so kind and beautiful.
They definitely seem to enjoy being a part of Firefly. A special place for them.
Yeah, you can definitely see that in the way that they interact as well. Like, even though some of them can be like sharp comments.
Yeah, so Jules Date was in Stargate Atlantis.
That's it.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, no We were watching it when it was on Stan, yes, and I think we got about three episodes off, and then it moved to MGM, and we didn't get to watch the last few episodes.
I'm sorry, actually towards Stargate.
Or just generally.
I can't.
So Adrian went when they were all out. He watched them all. He loved them, and good then he got him. To Stargate Universe. The last one, and he got about halfway through it and he went, yeah, nah, I can't even. I can't.
It's so funny watching that show.
And then, yeah, I think we got three episodes off finishing it.
My best friend was watching it at one point in time and I'm like, I cannot stop judging you. He's like, no, it's fantastic. Hang out, we'll watch it sort of thing together. And I'm like, okay, sure. And I watched a bit and I was like, hey, that's a direct callback to like Mass Effect and things like that. Or Mass Effect took the name of one of the characters, which is Commander Shepard, and you play as that character in a video game. And so I was like, oh, that's cool. And there were a couple of other ties into video games and other nerd culture, but otherwise it was awful.
Yeah.
It was hands down the worst thing I've ever seen. I don't understand the community.
It was such a guilty pleasure watching it. And then, so I get it. It's almost like sometimes you watch a show and you know it's, I think maybe Firefly has that effect, you know? Mm. You know that it's not fantastic, but it just feels like a hug. And I think it was a bit like that.
Like that for me.
Like survivor's guilt.
I watched an interview about Stargate, and it was about the finale at the end of season one for Stargate SG-1. And they're sneaking on board the Goa'uld ship that's on their way to Earth, and they're taking out the guards as they go. And one of the cast members goes, hold a moment, we're leaving all these bodies behind us. Surely someone would notice. And then everyone paused and went, oh no. The script writing was so bad, they hadn't thought of it. And then in the end, I think it was one of like the boom operators or something, just some random person on site just went, hold on a moment, the Goa'uld pistol things, you kill them with two shots, right? Maybe the third shot disintegrates them. And they used that in the episode, and everyone knew how terrible it was. But they had no choice because they'd screwed up that massively.
Oh, guess what?
And they just they couldn't get away from it the entire time because it was canon, and they just...
SG-1 is over 20 years old now.
Everybody, you heard it here today. Jeanette's pick is Stargate SG-1. She's foregoing the Doctor Who for Stargate. That is clearly
I said beginning of the year I was going to do Stargate, and then every time it got to the crunch, I went, I can't, and I picked something else.
Where would you start?
Let's have a star year. Next year, let's make it our star year, so we can do Stargate, we can do the original Star Wars trilogy.
Star Trek.
We'll do a bunch of Star Trek episodes.
I'll have to do Lower Decks. I know it's not 20 years old, but we've got to do Lower Decks. Yeah. It's so good. And the third season's just started. And apparently, I don't know for certain, but I've heard that there's a rumour, the new Strange New Worlds spin-off that they've done, apparently there's a crossover between Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds.
That's with Commander.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's actually awesome.
You see, the problem with that is if we do a Star Year and watch old Star Trek and new Star Trek and watch old Stargate... We're going to have to watch the new Stargate series they did 3 or 4 years ago, Stargate Origins. I don't know if anyone remembers.
Oh, yeah, Stargate Origins.
Yeah, it's on like Oranges.
Oranges. Someone sitting at the Stargate peg and oranges.
Hey, look, scurvy is a very serious thing.
Come on, in space especially.
You are not wrong there.
So this was only on YouTube, wasn't it?
It's on one of the streaming ones. They've got one and it's got the backstory, the one that I've seen advertised on one of the streaming things.
Yeah.
It has the original archaeologist that discovers the Stargate and it's got her story. Right. I've been tempted to watch it.
I think it's only 6 10-minute episodes or something like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's really small. It's like a mini series.
I think this was a longer episode. It was like a
big thing that they tried to reboot. I saw the trailer and went, that's hilarious, and I've never watched it.
I did watch that.
No, it's a mini series.
Yeah, so what did people think about how presented compared with modern sci-fi? Was it
non-Western sci-fi?
We're still here. Oh my God! Okay.
To be fair,
we went off track for a good long while there. Okay.
in terms of how would modern audiences look at it, do you think?
I think it's too slow to hold up with modern audiences in sci-fi nowadays. Like the first fight scene, the people moving around, it felt very slow, their movements and everything.
I won't lie, I checked out. Checked out during that
scene. That's the problem, is like a lot of those scenes are so slow.
I think that's partially probably because of Marvel. Because the fight scenes in Marvel are so athletic and acrobatic to some degree.
Fight scenes in Marvel don't do much for me either.
No, that's the thing, but that's just fight scenes for a lot of people.
It's media nowadays. It's a lot faster. So if you put Firefly, a lot of those slow scenes on like 1.5 speed, they would actually be fine to watch. They legitimately would be. I think
that's because of the acrobatic nature of modern fight scenes where you have people doing flips and stuff like that. That's the thing.
Yeah, flips in real time. As opposed to slow motion.
Well, no, but like, they didn't do anything like that. They weren't doing anything acrobatic. The movements were slower. They were less deliberate, as it were. They weren't highly trained people, whereas a lot of fighting stuff nowadays is people fighting fluidly.
Because they've spent a whole heap of time learning it.
Yeah, I mean, like, Star Wars has people swinging lights. Sorry, there's the other drink.
Look, less TV violence, more snappy, snarky comebacks. I think if it was just less... Yeah, if it was just more of the snarkiness, I'd be there for it.
As well, compared to sci-fi today, I think of all the Star series now, everything from The Mandalorian to Star Trek, all the Star Trek series apart from Lower Decks, are all trying to be series-long arcs. And I think a lot of series are starting to move away from... A lot of the good series that were sci-fi were basically episodic.
Yes.
And as a result, you could actually say, hey, we're going to have this episode about this situation and that's what it is. And have to worry about how it's going to tie in with the rest of the universe.
Yeah.
Whereas now we have to basically, okay, this entire 10-episode series has to be this story. And it's leading to very different stories.
I completely agree with that.
I think that really began with B5.
Yeah, but I think it's also the change to streaming, because now we're expecting everybody to watch this entire series the whole way through. Yeah. And episodicness doesn't really work anymore.
This stuff is so nice, though, because you can just sort of focus on one episode and not need to go what's on the next one and remember
an entire world. So it's got a place, and I think that modern sci-fi has definitely moved away from the formula of this sort of stuff. I'd say the writing, the episode itself, just as a self-contained entity, isn't probably... I wouldn't say it's particularly outdated. I'd say the formula, that type of screenwriting is disappearing. But as an entity of its own... Yeah, besides the formula, it's not that outdated.
It didn't seem that outdated to me.
I think it's also because some of the stuff in there was innovative for the time. Like, say, a lot of the lingo, the way they did the Joss Whedon style of speaking was new for sci-fi context.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned before, it's the first had to have shaky cam and that sort of stuff, which is now the rigueur of industry.
And people went on to copy that style. Yeah, so, they're up to date, because then the next several years people copied their style of doing it.
Yeah.
And the swearing in different languages definitely took off massively after this. And the ideas of monocultures actually started hitting a lot heavier than what they were initially as well, which is something that's been
an old sci-fi trope with monoculture.
But monocultures in sci-fi, like Star Trek does it, right? Where monoculture, but it still feels clinical.
Whereas in like, this is the Firefly, species that does this. This is the species that does that.
Also in Firefly, if you look at the sets and stuff between Star Trek and Firefly, in Firefly, the room is cluttered with everything from every culture. If they can find it, if they can find a lampshade from China and a hooker from India, they will put it both in the same room, and that's it. That's a nice example of monoculture, because it's representing as much as possible. Whereas in Star Trek and a lot of other sci-fi, I feel when they do touch into monoculture, it's we cut everything out. No one actually has a culture. We just exist.
Yes, very much so. Or it's generalization, where it's like everyone from this species is exactly like this, and there's no deviation because everyone thinks and feels the same.
This race is the Russians. This one is the Japanese.
These people are logical, so they can only be logical, and there's no deviation from that. That's why that's completely dismissing the idea of individuality. Well, they do the same with planets
too. Yeah. So the planet is an ice planet. The planet is an ocean planet. The planet is a swamp planet, etc.
Do we need to go on to food?
Oh.
Oh, yes. Switch food. Firefly.
I am hungry, yeah. I mean, we could eat now.
You know, do you need dinner? Some
snacks? Angus, what kind of food was this episode or this show even?
I don't know, because the thing is, it's semi-enjoyable, but once you're done watching it, that's it, you've just done watching it. You don't walk away with, like, going, oh, that was really good. You go, yep, I saw that, that was okay, that was fun.
I feel like you've just spent the last half hour saying the complete opposite.
Oh, no, so this for me is Stargate.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rewatch Stargate. Stargate's semi-fun when you're watching it, and as soon as you're finished watching it, you're just there you're going...
Done. Makes you feel nice.
I need a shower. Yeah. This wasn't that bad. This wasn't to that point.
So this is the glass of water and two tablets of gastro stop, wasn't it?
Like a pack of chips.
No, but a pack of chips makes you moorish. You want more.
Yeah, but that's the thing. There's no more. That's the point.
Like one pack of chips in a desert.
Yeah,
chip.
One chip.
Yeah.
A chip in a desert.
Like, no, it's kind of like Macca's, I think, is what you're trying to hit. Because, you know, like, you go to one Macca's, you buy, like, a cheeseburger meal. You jump in your car, you go for a drive, you finish your drink, you finish your Maccas and stuff. And by the time you finish your drink, you're like, oh, well, that's all gone. And then another Maccas goes by. But you know it's got the exact same food as the last time. There's nothing different. You could go in there and re-eat the exact same stuff and then just go to the next Maccas and the next one.
And you know every single one's going to be the same.
Alternatively, you can go to a place that actually sells good hamburgers.
Yeah, but we're talking about a food that's like
I'm sorry, Alex. We know the burgers are better at Hungry Jack's. You don't need to remind us.
I was going to use like the KFers analogy where you get your KFC and you eat it, and while you're eating it, you're like, God, oh God, this is so good. I got the batter, I got the chicken, I got everything happening. It's all oily. And then about half an hour afterwards, you just kind of go, oh, why did I do that? I've got so many regrets on my life choices. Yeah.
Two reasons why I don't have KFC anymore. One is that, and the other is when I'm trying to go to sleep and I'm watching videos on YouTube, they always have the ads interrupting. That is the horrible ones of like, did somebody say KFC?
That's the worst. I love it.
Yeah, that's the worst ad to hear when it's like 1 a.m. You're just really trying to sleep. You're watching sleep videos. It gets to the end of the video and then suddenly it wakes you up louder than ever before.
Yeah. Is it like a packet of tubes?
No.
Because they got cancelled.
No, I was going to say it's like a packet of crisps, because if you're peckish and you're like, yeah, I could eat a packet of chips, you eat a packet of chips. That's it. If you're actually hungry and you eat a packet of chips, you're like, yeah, okay, I still want to.
Well, I'd suggest you eat this with a packet of chips, though.
Yeah.
God, I could go some chips.
Like, it's not got any substance to it. That's what I was trying to say. There's no substance. It just is. It's nice, but there's nothing.
I really enjoy our food analogy conversations.
I like that it's Angus's thing, but the moment that one of us has an issue with it is like, no, you mean this.
That's the best bit about it. Don't worry.
It's Angus's food analogy, but everybody else has to get their true cents in and tell him why he's wrong.
If it was our 5-star rating system, right, it'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, fine, a couple of stars, yeah, that's cool. But food, it's like, oh.
So much more so thought subjective that goes into it, and the reasons why and the analogies. Yeah. It's such a piece of art. I love it.
Yeah, 5 out of 5. Yeah. I do enjoy the food ratings.
You mean 17 and a half out of 23, don't you?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I don't miss that bit.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
Thank you very much. And good night from the Cult TV Club.
Yes.
Good night.
Bye. Boo, boo, boo.
You can tell the time of day we're recording this by the fact that it's good night.